Would someone please hang that phone up?
Zero Talk Tech Chat number 12. This is Mike Olof. Tonight's topic is no cost, low cost internet phone. Using the internet to send and receive phone calls. It's something that some people have been doing for a few years, but only recently has it become really, really economical. And we'll talk about a few different ways that it can be done. There are services that can get the cost down to about $20 a month to send and receive what they claim is unlimited phone calls, but in reality is actually, I think there's a limit of about 4,000 minutes or something like that. So if you were to really push the envelope, they would probably let you know about it. But if you're on the phone 4,000 minutes in a month, it might be time to wonder why. That's quite a bit of time. The services that cost $20, $25 a month, maybe a little bit more if you have a business account, is where they give you an actual box, a VoIP box. It can be made by Supura or Linksys, or Cisco, or some other company. And you basically plug it into your router, and as long as you have internet, then you plug a phone into the device, and it works. Services that we're going to focus on tonight, the two in particular, one called Skype and one called Magic Jack, you can get the cost down to as low as $20 per year. But both, to have the ability to make and receive calls, will require that your computer is on and connected to the internet. Now, all of these services require that you are connected to the internet. That's what the I stands for, the Voice over Internet Protocol. So before I start talking about some of these services, I'm going to start with Brad, who mentioned that he uses Magic Jack, Skype, and Vonage. Now, Vonage is one of the providers where you get a dedicated box and hook it up. So I want to start with you, Brad.
I have Magic Jack, and I have Skype installed on my computer, and I have Vonage. That's my main source, my personal phone and my business phone. My daughters, my teenage girls, use the regular phone line. So I use my Vonage for my personal phone and my business phone. And you were saying, Mike, about people being on the phone 4,000 minutes. Yeah, I think you'd have to be a teenage girl if you were going to do that.
Well, certainly teenage girls can accomplish that for you. So, well, we'll talk a little bit about each. Again, as you mentioned, Skype does not have to be used for phone calls. You can simply use it to speak with other people at their computer who also have Skype installed. And, of course, the recent debate is whether you should upgrade to version 4.0, which has a much superior sound with the new what's called codec. It's a way that people transmit voice, and it's called the Silk Codec. Because it's silky smooth. And a lot of people use that, but there are some limitations with 4.0. All of the accessibility features have not been deployed into it. Now, if you know which settings to change, you can pretty much make it accessible, but I think there are some issues in terms of getting your voicemail messages. But everything else, you can go into the tools and make Skype usable and get the benefits of that higher quality sound. The thing to remember with the new Skype 4.0 is that it has some hotkeys that you toggle between different views. So, for example, if you want to get back to your list of contacts, you press Alt-1, or if you want to get to your conversations, the people that you've kind of recently spoken with, or if you're currently doing a conference, that is done with Alt-2. Now, Skype is available in the Windows. I'm told it can support up to 25 concurrent users on one phone call. I haven't seen that, but you would have to have a pretty good internet connection, whoever's hosting the conference, to do something like that. And the other key would be to make sure that people are not having what you hear, their WAV file selected, so that they're creating a feedback loop. That's the problem I had when I started getting with 4 or 5 people, is we start getting some weird sound effects, as you may have heard in our most recent podcast. So we apologize for that, but that's what happens when you get a big Skype conference going. If there's any one person that's creating a little feedback, maybe their microphone's too close and picking up their speaker, having what you hear selected. So even though Skype tries to cancel it out, you get a little feedback. But the add-ons to Skype then are that you can do two things. You can purchase minutes. So, for example, maybe you can purchase $10 or $20 worth of minutes. And, so maybe for about 2.5 cents per minute, then you can make calls to other people in the U.S. Now, that's great if you want maybe a second line. Maybe you have a phone, like you said, you've got teenage daughters hogging up your phone. You can have this and then go make calls to people on their landline phones. And since you're not going to use it that much, it keeps your expense at a minimum. That's called Skype out. Then on the other side, if you want it to be reached via Skype, you can get a Skype in number. And so if you select that, then you will have a designated number that people can call. And if you're online, you can answer it. Or if you don't answer in a specified time or set it up to do so, or if you're not online, it goes to voicemail. And then you can retrieve those messages at a later time. I have a friend in Australia that just purchased a plan. There's all different kinds of plans, so I'm not going to go into the specifics, but just go to Skype, skype.com, and look through the plans. But he got a setup so he can make unlimited calls to the United States from Australia for $5.95 a month or $59 per year, basically paying for 10 months up front and getting the last two free. So there are a number of different plans, and a lot of people use that. It's been out a few years and started out pretty rocky, but the quality has improved and today is pretty comparable to any other technology out there that you may use. Program that has become very popular for that person, whether it's just computer to computer or just making outbound calls, or if you want the best of both worlds, you buy some Skype out minutes and either a monthly plan for unlimited. It depends, of course, if you want to call multiple countries, or if you simply want some minutes where you can just call inside the U.S., because it doesn't count for your computer-to-computer calls. So most of the people that have Skype obviously have a computer, so if you can catch your friends on the computer, you only need to use those minutes for when you're calling a conventional phone. Now, the other service that I'm curious where, Brad, you have yours in the drawer, the Magic Jack, and it has actually improved in the last couple of weeks, but we have that right here, and I purchased it. It's $39 the first year, so it's $20, or as Brad said, it's a little box, a little cylinder, kind of maybe looks a little similar, just slightly larger than those little noise filters that you get for your DSL. And it has a USB. Now, fortunately, they give you a little cable. You connect to it and then plug it in your computer. They didn't used to provide that, so you'd plug it in and it would take up, you know, two USB slots because it was so wide. So that's a nice little add-on that they've put in there based on problems that users had by it hogging up two USB ports because it plugs straight into the USB. So we have that connected, and it has some software, not really the most accessible, but I guess the main thing is you get a call history list so you can see who has called you. You can dial numbers on it if you want. Best use is just to plug it in and have another phone line. And so I guess we'll show you here what it's capable of. If anyone listening would like to give me a call, you can let me know and we will let you call, and maybe you can hear what the sound quality is like. I think it's improved a lot. When I first got it a few months ago, I got it back late last year, I thought it was a little distorted. The inbound was a little distorted and the outbound quality was a little low. And sometimes when you talk, it'll transmit a touch tone. Maybe a certain frequency in your voice it thinks is a tone, and all of a sudden you hear a touch tone. But other than that, it's pretty smooth. They have improved the voice quality quite a bit. I think in the background, like most of these services, it uses the Asterisk, which is kind of the open source free Linux software for managing a phone system. And so I can call my own number here and give you a feel for the voicemail and its capabilities. So it's $39 the first year and then $19.95, basically $20 for the device and $20 per year for the service. So you're not going to beat that. Now, you're not going to get great tech support, so hopefully you don't need much help with it. But you install it and it pretty much does its own thing. Now, some computers, it will make the little tick sound because what you're getting is some ads that it's putting on your screen, which I don't know any screen readers that read it, but that little tick sound may annoy you. I don't get it anymore, so apparently something has changed here on my end. Now, I'm using a speakerphone because I can't hard code the phone, so there will be some degradation there. But just to give you a feel for how it works.
Magic Jack, 317-641-5162. My weather, fix, S3, editable text, blank.
Okay. Okay, so of course my computer read my phone number, and if you'd like to call it, you're certainly welcome to do so, and we'll talk to you. But I will dial that number here, dial my own number, just so we can actually... So you're welcome to call me at midnight, but I probably won't answer because I don't usually keep this thing.
Please leave your name and number. I promise to get back to you.
And password.
Okay, so now I'm going to enter my password into the phone, and we'll play with the voicemail.
You have no messages. Press 2 to change folders. Press 3 for advanced options. Press 0 for mailbox options. Press star for help or pound to exit.
Well, let's check out the help system on this for newbies.
Press 2 to change folders. Press 3 for advanced options. Press 0 for mailbox options. Press star for help or pound to exit.
Well, so much for help.
Press 2 to change folder.
Okay.
Press 1 to record your unavailable message. Press 2 to record your busy message. Press 3 to record your name. Press 4 to record your temporary greeting. Press 5 to change your password. Press star to return to the main menu.
So that was what I got for pressing 0. That's for setting up your mailbox.
2 to change folders. Press 3 for... advanced options. Press 0.
Okay. So let's dial 3 and see what we can do.
Exit. Press star to return to the main menu. I'm sorry, I did not understand your response.
Well,
press
so much.
2 to change folder.
How about 3, baby?
3 for press star to return to the main menu.
It is what it is. It's $20 a year, but generally it does work pretty well. And I mean, that's the main thing. And if I will call our local weather line, time and temperature kind of thing here, and we'll see how that works.
Good evening. Today is Thursday, April 16th.
Welcome to the Weatherline Forecast Service. We'll have the forecast after the time and temperature from Deaconess Hospital.
The time is 7:15. Current temperature, 65 degrees.
If 10 people are talking, you only hear noise. If 9 of them stop, there's one voice loud and clear. Your company's voice can be heard right here on Weatherline. Call for rate.
So as you hear, the audio quality is pretty good.
1,000. That's 314-291-1000. Ask for Martha.
I'm meteorologist Brett Zweiback, and here's the latest tri-state forecast. Clear skies tonight, lows in the middle 40s, an easterly wind under 10 miles per hour.
Okay, so you hear it's pretty good there. There you go. It's $20 a year. Voicemail there, apparently. I've never seen it kind of wig out like that, but apparently a little flaky. But you can do all the basic stuff. You can create a message. You can have an away message. You can have different folders, new and old messages. And it's not too bad. $20 a year. It is what it is, but it works. I really don't know of it being down, but again, I don't use it a lot. I think I'm like Brad. It's something I kind of play with. I guess I'm spoiled. I certainly have a work number for Serotech that I use, and other than that, I use my cell phone. But it is there. It is a very economical option. There's certainly, if anyone is doing so, there's certainly no need to pay exorbitant long-distance rates, 10 cents per minute or anything crazy like that, because even as Brad said, you can get a voice-over internet VoIP service to use for business purposes. Now, there are a number of those companies. I think some of the more popular ones are the ones that I've heard good things about. Broadvoice.com and VoIP Your Life, V-O-I-P Your Life.com that I've heard some pretty good reviews on. There's some that I've used I would not recommend, one of them being a company called Packet 8. I had a lot of times, especially during the business hours, where it just would not work. The audio quality was not that good. And again, these things may change. Now, Brad mentioned Vonage, and the problem with Vonage is their tech support is not too good, and there's been a lot of billing disputes, people having extreme difficulty in getting their services canceled or getting numbers ported or getting releases on their numbers if they want to switch to another carrier. But it is a pretty reliable service from the technology side of it. I know someone who uses it for his business, and I would say there are differences. There's residential, and then there's commercial or business VoIP. And if you're using it for business, you need to pay the extra money to get that business quality service so that you get the reliability. Otherwise, you might find there's occasional breakups in your call, and you don't want that. That's certainly not professional and not going to be helpful to you as a business owner if there's a lot of breakups in your phone. As time has gone on, people have maybe become a little bit accustomed to that because of cell phones and other things where maybe they'll tolerate it on a very rare occasion. But certainly if you want to be a business professional, you've got to be as reliable as possible. So therefore, using something like Magic Jack would not be the ideal way to approach this. Although some people do use Skype for their business concerns, and it seems, I guess, to have improved enough to be used in that way. With, say, Skype, for example, there are third-party programs, things like Skype MX or something called Call Burner, so that you can actually record your phone calls. So say if you're having a phone call and getting a lot of specific information, or maybe you want to review the conversation to get specifics, you can do so. I think legally you are supposed to notify the other person that you are recording the conversation. That is certainly something to keep in mind. I guess we'll stop at this point and see if we have any questions, and otherwise maybe I'll go into some of the options of some of these programs. Any questions at this point?
Terry?
Go ahead, Terry.
This VoIP is strictly voice, no video. Those are other services by other companies?
Well, that's a good question. Skype actually does provide video. As long as you and the other party have a webcam and you go into Skype and enable video, yes, you can actually see each other as you speak. That's a very good question. I'm glad you mentioned that. the benefit. If you want to see a family member, that's a very good question, and that is something that you can do with Skype. And of course, there are a lot of other group chat type programs, just as we're using right here, the Serotech Chat, where you can have multiple users. And there are also, on the voice front, there are a lot of like toll-free numbers now, or different numbers. Maybe they're not toll-free, but you can call in and do conferences and have like a special four-digit PIN code or something, and then get a group of 5, 10 people. I think if you get more than that, you're going to start having problems when two people talk at once. But there are a number of public services that you can use for group type discussions. Otherwise, you're using, you know, our tech chat here, or maybe Skype or Ventrilo or the free Team Talk program. A lot of ways to communicate and do group voice chats. But to answer your question, yes, Skype will do video as long as you and the other person have a webcam. Now, I guess if one of you has a webcam, and maybe that the other person can see it. I think it works better if both sides have webcams. Anyone else?
Mike in St. Louis.
Yes, Mr. Mike, what would you like to add this evening?
Just wanted to kind of comment on what I use here. I actually got rid of my landline about a year ago. It's like, you know what, I can probably do without this, and I'll be honest, I have not missed my landline at all. I use my cellular as my primary number. That's the number I give, you know, people want to contact me. Now, I use Skype. You can get, and I have this, I think it's $2.99 a month, and that's unlimited calls to the U.S. and Canada. And that's what I use, and of course, I got, you know, Windows here and the Mac, and Skype works great on both of them. And for the Mac, of course, if you get the 2.8 beta, it's got the new codec, fix some accessibility issues. So for $2.99 a month, you really can't beat it. And that also gives you voicemail, and I should also add, with that Skype plan, it gives you a local number in most major cities that you can call, and then from there you can dial the 10-digit number that you want to call from there, and then bypass any long-distance charges you might have. So, over at somebody's house, you know, in the same city, and maybe they don't have unlimited long-distance, whatever, you need to make a call, just dial your local Skype out number and put in your passcode. There you go. You can dial any number in the U.S. or Canada in this case, and the sound quality is very good. And you can also get your voicemail that way, too. If you can't do it from the Skype program itself, you can do it by dialing those local Skype numbers.
Have you found any VoIP services to use on either of your cell phones? Is there a way to either install Skype, say, at least on the Windows Mobile format? Or I don't think it's as big a deal on mobile phones, because obviously you have a situation of either you have unlimited nationwide minutes, but some people don't. How can you use this voice over internet protocol technology to enhance your cell phone service?
You can install Skype on Windows Mobile. I haven't done it. I haven't had a reason to. I know MobileSpeak for smartphones works really well with that. Now, on the Symbian side, the Nokia E-Series, the E51 has it. Some of the other E-Series phones do. The E71, I think, does. I think the new E63. It has a built-in VoIP client. Now, you have to get an account, and I think it works with Cisco servers or something to that effect. But it has a VoIP call client built into it. And if you have that configured, when you dial a number, you can actually choose, do you want to make a regular voice call over the cell network, or do you want to make a VoIP call? You need a 3G cell connection if that's going to work. Like in the case of the E51, it will use the Wi-Fi that's built in, if it can.
Talk about configuring Skype 4 for full accessibility. I know the first thing is to go into your options, and under the general setting, there's two things. One that says double-click your contacts or something, and that's, you check that. There's one it has to do with Skype view, and you change that to classic view, and that's what I know of under general. And then down, I think in the, there's a hotkeys area, and there's a checkbox that's unchecked. You check that, and it says enable hotkeys, and then you have to go into it and look at each specific hotkey. And the two you want to check is answer calls with alt page up and hang up with alt page down. So once you do that, then someone rings you, you can quickly answer, you can quickly terminate the call. Pressing alt 1 if you get away from it, your list of your contacts, and basically pressing enter to initiate a phone call to them. But are there any other settings I'm not thinking of that you want to go and change in the options for maximum accessibility?
I don't know if this is still part of Skype. It was in the initial version of 4, but in the latest update, I think it's no longer there. If it is there, you definitely want to change this. If you go under Tools, I think there's an accessibility choice there, and there's two options, extended keyboard navigation and simplified graphics, and you want to go ahead and make sure both of those are checked. The one that you were talking about under Tools General, you got a choice of the Skype one or Windows. That will enable your screen reader to read the menu bar. If you leave it at Skype, it won't read the menu when you go across. It'll read it once it's opened, but if you just tap the Alt key, it won't read it. The other thing to remember with Skype 4 is it does open separate windows.
Okay, and it does work with all the screen readers. I think it works best with System Access, and then it's out of the box. I guess it does okay with JAWS as well. Window-wise, it can work, but you have to install the Skype scripts in 7.0. So if you're using something 6.1 or earlier, I would not even try it. I don't think you're going to have a lot of luck with it. So that's something to be mindful of. And, of course, the scripts will complain if you don't have the Skype extras installed, which I didn't have at first. So I had to install those just to make it work with Window-wise. Another interesting thing you can do with Skype is you can do what's called a call-to command. So you can embed a link on a web page that will actually call you or someone on Skype. So I'm surprised I don't see that used more, but say you could have a business. You could have a contact page, and you could have a link that says call us on Skype. Click on that link and it literally launches your Skype and rings that person, and then you could have a conversation. So imagine, obviously, sales, tech support, a lot of uses that could be done with it that I really haven't seen deployed yet. Just by a good old call to command, and if you know anything about HTML, you know what that is. Just instead of mail to for email, it's call to and the Skype address, and voila, you can make a phone call and get the person right on the line. Does anyone else have any questions about anything that we've discussed so far?
Kenny?
Jeff?
Okay, go ahead, Kenny.
The Magic Jack. I had people that bought it, and of course, they sounded horrible. Although the music on the Magic Jack, when you put them on hold, sounds great.
I think your mileage varies with Magic Jack. I've had pretty good... Well, of course, any of these, it depends on the quality of your internet connection. And if you have, say, for example, you're on cable, and you have too many people on your node, a lot of gaming at night, a lot of gamers, a lot of pinging going on, then it's going to impair it. But those are all factors as well. It can only be as good as your internet connection. Jeffrey, what's your thoughts tonight, sir?
I was just going to mention two quick things. One, you asked about Skype clients for phones, and I would just mention that I have tried the IM or Shape Services IM client for Skype, and we did make one call successfully using it in the Wi-Fi connection on a Nokia phone, so that worked pretty okay. And the other one was, I was going to mention up here in Canada, we have a number of providers to do VoIP. I myself have tried a service called Akanak. For $19 a month, they offer unlimited North American calling, and it's basically good as a secondary line. One thing to highlight, I don't know if you did previously, was that you often don't get 911 or 411 services on these VoIP or secondary telephone lines. So that's something to be aware of if that's a service you're looking for, if your house is being broken into or on fire or what have you. Nice to be able to call out for help.
Well, good point about the 911 and 411. Actually, in the States, I think they're now mandated to make it possible for 911, but it ultimately goes back to your local phone provider. You have to set it up and give them the specific information so that the 911 is tied to your address. But again, that goes back to the phone company. And if the phone company, you haven't done business with them for a while, they could turn around and give your provider the wrong address. So you'll need to go back again and verify that it has been set up and that it does have the correct address for you. And secondly, if you get nervous and dial 911, again, you have a fire, someone trying to break in, and you just grab your VoIP phone and dial 911, it doesn't mean it's going to ring to your local provider. It could be someone in Virginia or New York or somewhere else. Maybe they have your information there, but you're going to verify it. And in other words, it's going to add time to the whole process of getting police or fire dispatched to your area or an ambulance. And, you know, sometimes that's okay, but in other times, fire or a medical emergency, those few extra minutes might make the difference of life and death. So I would say if you're going to drop your landline, you probably should still have a cell phone. And then if you want to have cell phone and VoIP, you're probably set. Although I recall here when we had the tornado in Evansville in 2005 that I couldn't use my cell phone for a few hours because there was so much traffic. So that's something to think about in the case of emergencies, is that fact that, you know, when you need it most, it's not going to be as reliable as picking up that landline. So there are some disadvantages. Certainly, if you want to have a landline, I would go the most economical way possible and just have it for making local calls and not having any long distance capabilities or anything like that. If you have no voltage coming into the lines in your house, you can usually plug your VoIP box into a phone jack and then be able to plug phones into the other jacks into your home and then make calls through it. But you have to be careful because just because you're not paying for phone service, they may still have voltage on your line. So if you plug in the box to a live line, that could be it. All she wrote, and might fry that baby. So you really have to know what you're doing and maybe either do some wiring in the jacks yourself. If you live in your own home where you can go out and make sure that there's no voltage, the phone company is not plugged into your home. So even if you don't have voltage in an apartment, they could always come by someday and think they're doing you a favor and plug you in, and then all of a sudden there goes your box. So handy to have a little knowledge yourself on what you're doing, or at least make sure you're living in your own home so you don't have to worry about someone coming by and juicing and destroying your VoIP box. Any other comments or questions?
Yeah, Mike, this is Brent from Hanford in California. Mike, there's another service that I have used quite a lot. It's Lingo, Lingo.com. It is $21.95 for a plan that gets you free calls to the U.S. and Canada and Western Europe, and it's been pretty reliable. The only two problems I've seen with it is the person on the other end listening to me. Sometimes that's been a little bit low for them. Also, of course, if there's any problem with your internet connection, then of course you're going to have problems. I'm not using it now, but I have used it in the past, and for the rates you get and the countries you can call for $21.95, it's pretty good.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. We always like to hear about other services because some of these come and go. I mean, the first one I used was called Sunrocket, and they kind of raised the bar because they had a really, if you paid for the whole year, you got a discount, and it got it down to like under $15 a month. But, of course, the company went belly up. They had too many people, and they had good support, but I guess they had too many people on staff, or there was some rumors that some of the management embezzled the money. I don't know. But anyway, it was a good service in that it was reliable, and you know, there's different ways, codecs that can be used, and some sound better than others.
I remembered the third item, which was I was just going to mention about call quality and the fact that actually your internet service provider might be consciously or unconsciously altering your connection or degrading or altering your connection to things like Skype and other VoIP services because of things that they're doing in order to streamline their network. There's a lot of discussion about internet neutrality and so on, where companies are doing what's called packet shaping. They're slowing certain pieces down and speeding up others. There was a bit of a controversy up here in Canada because one of our internet providers, Rogers, I think, was actually affecting Skype calls. So because they had a competing telephone service, it was, you know, argued that they were kind of out of line in doing so. It was not allowing for competition. So internet service providers might be, or your internet service provider might be the bottleneck for your call quality issue.
Very good point, actually, because here in Evansville, Indiana, we have two cable companies and DSL. And at least in the past, neither of the two cable companies would you have very good luck using Skype. And you had to wonder, right, is it a technical thing or is it intentional that they are impairing that capability because both of them also sell phone service? So you have a little conflict of interest going on there. And only after going with DSL do I find I have flawless communications with Skype. And also my VoIP did not work with that particular cable company that I was using. It would work for a while, and then every 10 minutes, you could almost set your clock to it, which again made me think maybe it was intentional, that every about 10 minutes or so, or maybe, I don't know, it was a little bit under 10 minutes, but pretty consistently, it would drop the audio for about 20 seconds or so, and then would kind of stutter, and then it would come back and then work for a few minutes and then do the same thing. You have to wonder whether these are problems in their system or it was intentional, because obviously these VoIP boxes and everything, providers, they use certain ports, you know, whatever, 5060, 5061, whatever. So, and these companies know that, so they can say, well, gee, we're selling phone service, so we need to make it look like those phone services aren't of very good quality. So whether, again, it's overselling their nodes or, again, intentionally degrading the quality. Anyone else?
Kenny?
Mike, it's Steve.
Okay, Kenny, we'll acknowledge Steve first. Go ahead, sir.
Something I came to understand some time ago, there was an article about Comcast that was going to start limiting people in their downloads. But where I am in the northern part of the United States, in the Midwest, this cable has allowed me at this point, just because I have an increase of bandwidth for my show on Sunday nights, I can run two Skype sessions and without any difficulty, without any packets dropping, without any stuttering and stuff. It was a little rocky at first, but once I had the chance to increase the bandwidth, even though that they provide a phone service, is a voice over IP, which I have here in the house, it doesn't interfere with the internet connection. But I would be surprised if Comcast wouldn't be that first person or first cable company to maybe start limiting the usage of Skype.
Well, that's a good point. And, Steve, I think one thing to be mindful of is a lot of these new bandwidth caps, a lot of people feel the reason is because of IPTV and the fact that you'll soon be able to watch almost everything, all television programs, through your internet connection. So obviously, and some people are already dropping their TV connections and just using Hulu and going directly to networks and other TV stations that stream online and getting rid of paying for their TV service, as this may be one way to skirt that by, because obviously once you start using video, your bandwidth usage is going to go up. So that's one concern. I think it may be more of a technical thing in some of the smaller cable companies having problems where at least Comcast is putting money into their infrastructure and improving the speed and the whole DOCSIS 3 and everything. So hopefully they're raising the bar, so I would hope they're not doing that. But it's certainly something to be mindful of, and I'm glad you, I never even thought of trying that, actually setting up two different Skype accounts. I might do that. The Mac and the PC making different phone calls and seeing if there's any issue there. Go ahead, Kenny.
A person mentioned the Lingo. I had a friend that had it at one time, and he had an 8 megabit connection, and then when he would hook up his Lingo and use it, it would automatically drop to 5. Lingo was taking up 3 megabits of his cable connection.
Part of that is, it depends on how you do it. Some people, they will tell you, yeah, hook your box straight up to the internet and then hook your router into the box. Because, and they probably say that because some routers will degrade VoIP because they're not really designed for it. But I have heard of that happening, so hopefully it's better. Obviously, you want to try to connect your VoIP box to your router. And then if you have difficulties, either hopefully you know enough to get into your router, read a little bit about opening up ports, like 5060, you need TCPIP and 5061 UDP. I may be wrong on that, so you want to do your internet research. That's where some of that comes from, where the box is saying, well, okay, I'm going to reserve some bandwidth for my, you know, for these phone connections so that they're always there. And as a result, then your overall throughput is degraded somewhat. So always better to try to go into your router and not put the box in front of the router as they would like you to do. Anyone else?
Mike, it's Steve.
Go ahead, Steve.
I got to tell you, out of all the services, whether it be Magic Jack, Skype, and or Vonage, I think Vonage was probably bottom of the basement. And once you're in there, it's almost as if you're in a stone cave. You almost hardly could ever get out and unsubscribe from them. It took me about 2 months, really, to have the account stopped or have the account ended. And even 6 months to a year later, I still get offer emails to, even though I've unsubscribed, for me to come back to as a Vonage customer. It was okay, but the problem that I've had primarily with it was it was half duplex most of the time. And I think when I was in New York using it, the cable company at that point probably saw that I was using this and or could determine that I was using it. But it was absolutely a horrible system. And as quickly as I get out of the system of using Vonage, I did. It was okay. It was easy, relatively easy to set up, but if you want to get out, you might as well sell off your first daughter, because it'd probably be a hell of a lot easier doing that than getting rid of Vonage.
Two things there. Yeah, I mentioned that at the beginning of this presentation that was a problem. And if you go look at BBB.org, there are like thousands of complaints. Just as, you know, AOL was known for doing that, not unsubscribing people as they requested. And one of the big things you can do if you have any problem with the cable company, a VoIP company, or telephone provider is to file a complaint with the Federal Communications Commission. And I would let those companies know that you're going to be contacting the FCC, because they all do have a fear of the FCC, as they should, because they can be fined thousands of dollars. But I would let these companies know right up front that you will terminate my service and you'll do it today, or this matter will be taken to the Federal Communications Commission. It does work. It is 888-225-5322 at FCC.gov.
One of the things that's nice about the VoIP services is often you get more features, more capabilities on the service than you would with your regular telephony landline. As a perfect example, most of them, the voicemail service up here will email you your voicemail messages. So rather than have to listen to them or call your telephone and just put in your password, you can set an email address to receive your voicemail. So you get a lot of extra features by going to a VoIP service that you may not otherwise get. conference calling, caller ID. Often those things are bundled into your service.
Do any of you use or know of anyone using VoIP for faxing? I know it can be done, but some people have quite a bit of problems with it. Do any of you know of someone successfully using that?
Well, I work at... That's all they have is the voice over IP, so they use the fax machine, and you know they're able to successfully get faxes and receive faxes, and of course they got the unlimited long distance all over the states, and they're doing it pretty successful. Of course, they have a business voice over IP plan, so that might be the difference right there.
Yeah, actually, they picked up a little analog to VoIP box that if you Google VoIP and fax, it'll come up there, and they're using the standard VoIP, again, from one of these little providers. I haven't heard anything from them that they've had problems. Actually, they were kind of mentioning how, you know, they couldn't believe that we were still using landlines for faxing, so obviously it's worked well for them. I agree with you. I think the data connection is the key. You got to have a good quality VoIP connection, and that you probably have to pay a little more money for.
And the final thing I'll mention, there is software, what they call IP phone software, that you can use to make calls. And one of them is called ExpressTalk, nch.com.au. The thing to remember is these other services, we're talking $20-$25 a month, that's having a dedicated box. It doesn't require your PC, whereas Skype and Magic Jack do require that your computer be on. And so then one could make the argument that you might spend as much in electricity by leaving your computer on, so then which is really the better deal for you. So on that note, let's wrap it up. I thank all of you for joining me, and we will post links to as many, hopefully all, but as many of these VoIP companies as I can find based on the ones that you've mentioned this evening. And remember, there's no need to pay the outrageous fees to the Ma Bells, the phone company. You know, I can't. Whether you decide to get rid of a landline, as many people have done, that's a personal decision. And there may be times in real emergency situations, say loss of electricity, or people who live in hurricane areas where they lose their other services, even cell towers, but maybe still have their telephone line. So whether you decide to ditch the landline is a personal decision, but shop around. There's no need to pay exorbitant fees for quality telephone service.
Operator, can I help you?
Yes, I'm trying to fix my baby, and I dialed 616.
Hey, sir, could you speak up a little louder, because I can just barely hear you.
Let's stay connected.